Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, holy mackerel, no doubt about it, the Cubs are on their way.
Hey, hey,
the Cubs are gonna hit today, they're gonna pitch today, they're gonna field today. Come what may, the Cubs are gonna win today. Hey, hey, holy mackerel, no doubt about it, the Cubs are on their way.
Hey, hey,
they got the hustle, they got the muscle, the Chicago Cubs are on their way.
Major League Baseball is here and the Cubs are on their way. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid with your host here, Bo James. Some people like to call me the King of King Sports. Some people like to call me the King of the Mountains. Over the last several days on social media, many of you have called me a great storyteller and historian. But more importantly, little Aubrey Rose and Waylon call me Uncle. I want to start off by telling everybody a big thank you for all the great feedback that I got for my first episode last week. Also, all the great feedback I got with my appearance on Between the Sheets with my boys Chris and Bix as we rediscovered 1996 on their program last week. And a lot of the stuff that I talked about on that program, you're going to be able to see right here this week on the Southern States Wrestling Network. So check it out, southernstateswrestlingnetwork.pivotshare.com, only $4.99 a month. Start your free 7-day trial right now. Check that out while you're listening or right after this program. I guarantee you, you're going to love it. There's something on there for every wrestling fan of every era. Now, as promised last week, the subject of this week's podcast is none other than my longtime friend, a man that I called my brother and I loved him just like he was family. He was part of my family. I'm talking about the Nature Boy, Buddy Landale. Now, before we get into the stories and the memories that I have today, I want you to understand something about Buddy. If Buddy was sitting here with us right now, he would be the first one to admit that he was his own worst enemy over the years. Buddy was Buddy, and that's the best way to explain him. To understand him, you had to understand that there was three Buddies. There was Nature Boy Buddy Landale, the wrestler that you saw on television or saw at the live events. Then there was Budrow. And Budrow could be very hard to deal with. When you were dealing with Budrow, you had no idea what was coming next. He got the nickname No-Show Budrow because at times his issues and the demons that he battled got to him and Buddy just did not make the town. Then there was the Bud that many people did not know, never saw, or never even heard of. And that would be William Bud Enzer. Or as I heard him refer to himself on two occasions, Bill. If you could strip away the Nature Boy and you could strip away Budrow and you just got to know Buddy, you had a real friend. And I'm one of the few people that got to know the real Bud. I first met Buddy when I was 14 years old, helping put up the rings in Johnson City and around East Tennessee here when he was wrestling for USA and Continental Wrestling. I was a fan of the wrestler Buddy Landale long before I got to know Buddy. A few wild trips here with some stories coming up in this program, but I want to start off by telling two stories that mean a lot to me about Buddy Landale. Christmas Eve of 1999, I was on the phone with Buddy Landale, and he was scheduled to make an appearance for me on Christmas night, 99, in Kingsport, which you can see that on the network. It's up there. And I was on the phone with Buddy, and I got a call come in. I told him to hold on, and then I went back and told him, I said, Buddy, I have to go. My mother has slipped on ice and fell and hit her head, took a real bad fall. She's at the emergency room, and I've got to head to Holston Valley Hospital. So Buddy tells me to keep him updated, let him know what's going on. I take off, get to the hospital. My sister had got my mother there, and we were sitting in the waiting room, and about 35, 40 minutes after I had got there, I looked up, and there was Buddy in the emergency room. And I said, Buddy, what are you doing here? And he said, I just couldn't think of you sitting in a waiting room in a hospital on Christmas Eve by yourself. Buddy came down and stayed there for a couple hours with us till they discharged my mother and let her go home. That's the kind of Buddy that I like to remember. A year or so before that, my dad was having some major health issues with his liver and different things from his two tours in Vietnam and being exposed to Agent Orange. And Buddy would call all the time and check on my dad, see what was going on. And there was a couple of days that I had to go out of town to wrestle. And I had talked to Buddy before I left. And Buddy ended up driving from his home in Chihuahua, Virginia, down here to Fall Branch, where I'm from, to check on my dad, because he knew I was out of town and he wasn't sure if my sisters were going to be there to check on him or whatever. Buddy ended up spending the night with my dad to make sure that he was all right. That's the Bud that you got when you stripped away the Nature Boy and you stripped away Budrow. You got a real friend. Buddy and I used to knock each other when we were around each other so much. One night, Buddy and I were in the dressing room. We're going back and forth, just talking about each of our shortcomings, hitting each other pretty hard, but ribbing in a way. And as we were getting ready to leave, Buddy spoke up to the dressing room, and he said, Hey, listen here. Me and him know each other. We like family. We can say this stuff about each other. But if you try to say something about one of us, we're going to stick up for the other one. Buddy and I had a lot in common, both wild-eyed East Tennessee boys. We liked the same kind of music. Buddy knew a lot about music. He could play the drums. We grew up wrestling fans, seeing the same kind of wrestling. Buddy was a few years older than me. Buddy used to tell a story of going into a gas station in Knoxville and running into some of the wrestlers that were on Southeastern Championship Wrestling. And he said he was in awe of them. He said he was so excited he almost wet his pants to see Don Carson and Ronnie Garvin and Bob Orton Jr. live and in person. He figured out that's where the wrestler stopped on certain days, and he used to go by there just to see who he could see and who he could meet. Buddy never really thought about being a wrestler growing up. He was just a fan. 1979, he went to the wrestling matches with his sister in Knoxville, and he met Boris Malenko, and the path for his life forever changed. He sold his car to pay for the wrestling training with Boris Malenko. Buddy said the first day of training, there was probably a dozen guys there. By the end of the first week, there was three left. By the end of that class, Buddy was the only one left. He gutted it out. He stuck to it. He had a passion for it. He used to tell me when I would ask him, why didn't you quit like everybody else? He said, I had nothing to quit to go to. There was no other option. This was my option. To make my way through life, make something of myself, get out of Knoxville. My favorite Buddy Landell story that he told many times was the day of his first match. Malenko called and told him that he was going to have his first match Saturday night in Newport, Tennessee, a small town just east of Knoxville, up by Morristown. They were wrestling in the old Memorial Building, which was also used as the Boys and Girls Club. Malenko told him what time to be there, how to dress, where to go. So Buddy gets the stuff together on that Saturday, goes to the Newport, and he took along with him a childhood friend who was a wrestling fan who wanted to see Buddy's first match. So Buddy gets to Newport, and he goes in and gets ready for his match, and then he goes out and has his first match. As Buddy said, for the next 15 minutes of his life, he repeatedly asked himself the question, do you want to be a wrestler, kid? As he was put in holds that he knew nothing about, he got stretched. He got tested. They wanted to see if he was going to last. After his match was over and he went back to the dressing room, one of the boys told him, said, hey, kid, get a chair, sit over there, and watch the rest of the matches. Buddy said as he sat and watched the matches, he realized that his arms and neck begin to hurt worse than they did in the ring. As the night went along, he said he could barely lift his arms. The matches were over. He went back and changed and got ready to go home, and he was sitting there, and they come through with the envelopes with the payoffs in them. Buddy got his first professional payoff. He said he got up and went in the bathroom stall and quietly opened the envelope and looked, and there it was, a wrinkled, old, worn-out $5 bill, which is just shy of $17 in today's money. Buddy said his arms were hurting so bad he could barely carry his bag out to the car. He goes out to the car, and there's his friend that he took to the matches with, that he grew up with, is just looking at him and smiling. And he thought he was proud of Buddy. And the guy said, "Are you ready? Let's go home." They get in the car. As they get back on the interstate to go to Knoxville, his friend reaches up and turns the dome light on in the car. There he shows Buddy a wad, a handful of money. And he says, "Look what I have." And Buddy said, "Where did you get that?" And his friend told him, "I went in the bathroom to take a pee, and somebody evidently had dropped their wallet or something. It was just laying in the floor." Buddy's first day in the wrestling business, he got stretched and got a $5 payoff. His friend rode along to watch and ended up leaving with a couple $100. I used to tell Buddy that should have been a sign for the crazy life that was ahead of you. I traveled a lot of miles with Buddy from about 1997 until the mid-2000s. There were times that we were around each other every minute of the day for days on end. Some of those days were no picnic. And some of those days are some of the fondest memories I have in life. Buddy could upset you and make you mad with his mouth faster and worse than probably anybody I've ever come across. And then when you'd get hot and blow up at him, he'd look at you and say, "Hey, I was just kidding, baby. Ain't no reason to get all mad about it." And you'd just start laughing. You couldn't stay mad at the guy. No matter what he did, no matter how bad he messed up. And usually, all the damage that he did was to himself. Traveling with Buddy, there was two things you had to figure out, and you usually learned them real quick. One, never let Buddy behind the steering wheel. Two, most of the time that Buddy's in the passenger seat, he's going to be sound asleep. Buddy had the reputation of being one of the worst drivers ever in the history of professional wrestling. He had more car wrecks than anybody I ever knew. Sadly, that's what led to his passing. Bobby Eaton told me one time that he rode with Buddy 3 days in a row, and 3 days in a row, Buddy totaled a car. Bobby, Buddy, and I were once in the same town in Kentucky, and I was getting dressed for my match, and Bobby walked up and said, "Hey, what number are you on?" Because Bobby had rode to the town with me, and I said, "I'm out first." I said, "What do you need?" He goes, "They don't have any coffee here, and I was wanting you to run me to the store down the street." So Buddy speaks up and says, "Bobby, I'll take you down there. I'm not on till after intermission." Bobby turned and looked at Buddy with a serious look, and he said, "Buddy, I will never get in a car with you again." Buddy just starts laughing. He says, "It's half a block." He said, "I don't care. I will never get in a car with you again." It got to almost the point of Buddy pleading to take Bobby to get a cup of coffee. And Bobby was not having any of it and never gave in. I ended up taking Bobby after I got out of the match. Other than the wrestling matches, I probably spent more time with Buddy in Waffle Houses across the South. And on more than one occasion, Buddy would look around. And if you've ever been in a Waffle House late at night, you always know there's a cast of characters in there. It's kind of like the bar from Star Wars. And it always seemed like they would be two heavyset, half-drunk, jailhouse-tattooed women in the Waffle House late at night. And Buddy would always start to flirt with them. And as we would leave, he would go over to the table and he'd say, "Hey, when y'all get done here, we're right over there at that hotel," and he would give them a room number. We would then get in the car, hit the road, and go on down the road. And he would just laugh. And I told him one night, I said, "Buddy, you got to stop doing that, man. They're probably over there knocking on the door. Some guy that's on vacation got his family in there. Buddy started laughing. He looked at me and he said, "Hey, brother, how do we not know that them two fat broads aren't giving some traveling salesman the night of his life?" One night we're coming back from Middle Tennessee, heading back to Knoxville, when Buddy lived in Knoxville, and listening to sad old songs and talking, having a good time, fixing the world's problems. This is when the Gatorade bottles were still glass with the tin tops on them. They were the perfect spit bottle for the boys that spit snuff. As we're coming into Knoxville, Buddy spits his snuff out, puts a lid on it, rolls the window down, leans over towards me, and goes to throw the spit bottle out the window of the car. His hand hits the door facing. He busts his knuckles, and the bottle comes flying right back at him and hits him right dead in the mouth. I did what every good friend would do. I started laughing hysterically. Buddy's shaking one hand. He's got his other hand over his mouth. He's mad at himself. He's cussing and spitting. He turns the light on, and both his top and bottom lip are split. Blood. He looks like he's been in a fight. He pulls the sun visor down. He's looking in the mirror. He turns and he looks at me and he says, "I can't go home. Donna's going to think I've been in a fight somewhere. She's going to think we went to a bar." I drop Buddy off and went the hour on to my home here in Fall Branch. The next morning, I get a phone call and it's Buddy. And he says, "Brother, would you please talk to Donna and tell her I was not in a fight. I hit myself in the mouth with a bottle." She would not believe anything that he told him, because she knew Budrow better than anybody. Buddy was without a doubt a classic character. He was an artist. There was nothing he could not do in the ring. He was a great interview and could talk. He wrote poetry. He played the drums. He read history. He read trivia. One of Buddy's downfalls that I think a lot is that he just got bored at times, because his mind was always working and trying to find something to do. And he would try to turn that mind off, or he would try to see how far he could push it to the limit. My last match with Buddy is in a story into itself. It was for Chuck Roberts in Jenkins, Kentucky. And old Chillin' Chuck is a character into himself also. We're in the high school dressing up on the stage. Buddy's looking around. We're getting ready to go to the ring. It's Buddy and Brad Thomas wrestling me and Scotty McKeever. And Buddy says, "Man, I got to go to the bathroom. I can't find a bathroom." He said, "I'm going to step out here, out this back door and find a spot and take a pee." Buddy opens the door on the stage and goes to step out, and he just disappears into the darkness, just falls. We didn't realize that that back door was a loading dock onto the stage. Buddy falls a few feet into the darkness, and we hear him. We're looking, trying to find him, and all of a sudden, his hand comes up onto the floor on the stage, and then the next hand, and he's pulling himself up. And he says, "Help me up." So we pull him back up on the stage. Both elbows and both knees are skinned up like he's a kid in a bicycle wreck. And he's got a strawberry on his chin. I said, "Buddy, are you all right?" "I don't think I'm hurt bad," he told me. Then once again, I answered with hysterical laughter. This could only happen to Buddy Landale. So we get Buddy up. We're trying to clean him up, and the bell rings for the match ending that was right before us. So Buddy says, "I can't go out there like this. Look at me." I said, "Buddy, what are we going to do?" "I'm not going out there." So the wrestlers come back from the match before, and it's time for me and Scotty to go to the ring, so we go to the ring. We're in the ring, and here comes Buddy and Brad. And you can just see how mad Buddy is. And he gets up on the apron, and he's got like a piece of tape on the elbow and a Band-Aid, and he's got his hand over his strawberry and his chin, and he looks across the ring, and he says, "If either one of you touches me, I'm going to kill you." And then he looks at Brad and says, "And if you tag me in, I'm going to kill you." Buddy ended up getting in the ring for all of about 8 seconds going into the finish. My last conversation with Buddy was shortly before he passed. I was sitting in my backyard by a fire. He called me. We talked for over an hour. The last words that Buddy Landell spoke to me was, "I love you, brother. Buddy, I love you too. If we could just go back and live it all again, despite the hard times."
Everybody in both dressing rooms better listen up, because the family's back together and you're all in trouble. And I tell you what, we just set an example right here. Anybody else wants some in the dressing room, come on and get some. And you got a belt around here, you're in trouble.
Let me tell you, Cousin Mary and Banjo picking pig farmers out there something. We wouldn't give a crippled crab a crutch. We're going to rip some heads off. It's what I'm talking about. We're going to stop a mud hole in you and walk it dry. We're coming to you, Salvo, Appalachia, anniversary show back in Kingsport. We're taking over, baby. The family's taking over.
We want to bring in Buddy Landell and Bo James right now to get their comments on this. Buddy, you're affiliated now with the First Family.
You know, Bo, don't let Sobel fool you. I know it looks like a tornado went through and did $1 million worth of improvement, but I'm telling you, Sobel's got a lot of things to be proud of. They got a heck of a law enforcement fronted by Steve Serber, the chief of police. We got Moon Pie and Freckles and all that, and they got a golf course, in-ground swimming pool, and they got Southern States Wrestling, and Nature Boy Buddy Landell. Had some Bo James to be proud of. Let me tell you something, Ricky Harrison. We'll walk through you to get to a better fight, boy. And I'm telling you something right now. When Bo James gets a hold of you, Katie bar the door. It's all over with. Appalachia, anniversary show in Kingsport. We're going to do it, brother. We're going to do it to you big time.
I thought it was only fitting to close out there with a little bit from Buddy and myself. Those interviews were from the early part of 2000. Hard to believe that was 19 years ago. You can check Buddy out on the Southern States Wrestling Network. That's SouthernStatesWrestlingNetwork.pivotshare.com. It's only $4.99 a month. Start your free 7-day trial right now if you're a new subscriber. I guarantee you're going to love it. Lots of Buddy Landell already on there and a whole lot more of Buddy Landell to come. Also, check out KingOfKingsport.com. If you enjoyed my stories here today, if you enjoy my stories on this podcast or other podcasts that I do, you're going to love my books, Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid? Lots of Buddy Landell stories in there. And It Takes All Kinds, the people, places, and events that make professional wrestling. You can get both of my first two books for only $40 at thekingofkingsport.com. I'll sign them for you. Misty will sign them for you. We'll throw a couple of pictures in there for you. If you have not already, please follow me on Twitter at King of Kingsport. Also follow Southern States Wrestling on Twitter, SSW Wrestling 1. If you're on Facebook, Pro Wrestler Bo James is the Facebook fan page. Also, Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid has a fan page. Please like both of those and like the Southern States Wrestling fan page as well. I truly hope you have enjoyed this program today. I hope you have been entertained. I hope I've educated you a little bit on the man that Buddy Landell was. If you like the program, please share it on your Facebook. Please share it on your Twitter. Help us get the word out there about Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid. We're working on getting this little podcast in more apps and more ways to get it out there so we can get more listeners each and every week. But we need you to help us get the word out about it right now. So if you would, please do that. Please know that we appreciate it. Here's some upcoming events that I will be a part of. April the 5th, Miller Family Fun Center in Combs, Kentucky. The next round of Appalachian Mountain Wrestling television taping will happen right there on the 5th in Combs, Kentucky. If you're in that area, hope to see you. It's just right outside of downtown Hazard, not 5 minutes from downtown Hazard. There, Combs, Kentucky, the Miller Family Fun Center. Then on the 12th of April, I'll be at the Lynn Camp Elementary School in Corbin, Kentucky. My first time ever wrestling in Corbin, Kentucky. It's hard to believe. I've wrestled in Barbersville. I've wrestled in London. I've wrestled in Somerset and Hazard and all the towns around there, Manchester. But my first time ever wrestling in Corbin coming up on April the 12th, Lynn Camp Elementary School. It's a fundraiser there for one of the great organizations in the school. And then on Saturday night, April the 20th, Southern States Wrestling Spring Spectacular, Rogersville, Tennessee, at the Hawkins County Cattlemen's Association building right there off 11E, right off of Stanley Valley Road there in Hawkins County, Rogersville, Tennessee, on Saturday, April the 12th. So hope to see you ringside if you're in the area of those events. Hope to have you right back here with me next week. Like I said, please let everybody know about this program. Thank you for all your great feedback. Thank you for all the kind words on social media. Until next week, good Lord willing, I'll be right back here with an all-new episode of Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid?
Hey, hey, holy mackerel, no doubt about it, the Cubs are